Good morning. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 5. Okay, Joshua chapter 5. Now it came about when all the kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan to the west, and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea, heard how the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan before the sons of Israel until they had crossed, that their hearts melted. And there was no spirit in them any longer because of the sons of Israel. At that time the Lord said to Joshua, make for yourself flint knives and circumcise again the sons of Israel the second time. So Joshua made himself flint knives and circumcised the sons of Israel at Gibeath, Haraloth. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt who were males, all the men of war died in the wilderness along the way after they came out of Egypt. For all the people who came out were circumcised, but all the people who were born in the wilderness along the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the sons of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness until all the nation, that is the men of war who came out of Egypt, perished because they did not listen to the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord had sworn that he would not let them see the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. And their children, whom he raised up in their place, Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcised them along the way. Now it came about when they had finished circumcising all the nation, and they remained in their places in the camp until they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. So the name of that place is called Gilgal to this day. While the sons of Israel encamped at Gilgal, they observed the Passover on the evening of the 14th day of the month on the desert plains of Jericho. And the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. And the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten some of the produce of the land. So that the sons of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate some of the yield of the land of Canaan during that year. Now it came about when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him and his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said, no, rather, I indeed come now as captain of the host of the Lord. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, what has my Lord to say to his servant? And the captain of the Lord host said to Joshua, remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Amen. Okay, so now at chapter 5, they have crossed over into the promised land, and a few things happen. The first thing is that the Amorites, the kings, hear about the Jordan that's dried up, and it completely terrifies them. I mean, they are totally undone. You know, the Jericho being low, they can handle that, but actually have a river that they're so familiar with that really is becomes part of their national identity, to have the river totally dried up and the people cross over, they are freaking out. But interestingly enough, to a non-believer, there's a couple different ways that this goes. Actually, to believers as well. They see God's phenomena. Now, the natural thing would be to fall on their knees and say, you are God, you are God. You know, repent and so on and so forth. But instead, they just were afraid. They were afraid of the people. That's it. Nothing much happened there. And you can see that with people's reaction. I mean, this is Christians I'm talking about now. Let's say you have a believer, and let's say the believer gets sick. Let's say the Christian gets cancer. And maybe they weren't a strong believer. It's interesting. Some people, man, they really grow during that time. They fall on their knees and just give themselves to the Father. Some people will go through that same situation, and instead of falling on their knees, they'll lift up their heads and they'll curse God. I'm talking about Christians here. And I think if you've been a Christian long enough, you probably have experiences and know people that have done exactly that. And the way people react, you know, you could like, as pastor, you could never be sure. Like, I mean, there are some times where, you know, I got the news of some of our church members, and something really, you know, horrific human experience happened to them. And for me, I thought, oh, for sure, oh, man, her husband, who's not a very young believer, man, he's going to really suffer, and he's going to really, he's going to get really angry with God, and so on and so forth. And then those guys end up being just drawn so close to God and becoming great leaders in his church. And then others that you think like, oh, man, that guy is so strong. Yeah, man, he's gonna do well. And then sure enough, man, their faith falters in that time of need. And so, I mean, it's just interesting because don't be deceived by the enemy. Now, I believe in signs and wonders, okay? And so don't get me wrong when I say this. But miracles, if whatever's going on in someone's heart, that's also not going to convince people. And there's an idea that we have of, man, if my uncle who's not a Christian, if he just sees a miracle, and if he sees it, surely he'll give his life to the Lord. That's not true. We see through the scriptures, and we see through our human experience, that's not true. I mean, we pray for miracles because we pray for miracles. You guys understand? It's totally different. It may lead people to the Lord. It may not. We see even in Jesus when he was walking around the earth for so long, and he did miracles, you know, when his ministry was done with, he had how many guys still with him? Zero. Well, okay, let's not forget the women that stuck around. And they saw all kinds of miracles that happened. And so, now I'm not saying let's not stop praying for miracles. We constantly pray for miracles because God needs to intervene in our lives and our situations. But instead, you know, or not instead, added to that, why don't we pray that God would move their hearts, that God would touch their hearts in such a way they would come to the place like these kings, they should have just feared God. That would have been the natural order, to really fear him and fall down and worship him, like Nebuchadnezzar in the Old Testament, like many other Persian kings that saw God's miracle and said, okay, your God is God. My God is not. But that didn't happen in this case. And so it says there was no spirit in them any longer because of the sons of Israel. Their hearts totally melted. They were in that place, but unfortunately, they didn't turn to God. And now, interesting enough, God brings a covenant experience to the people of Israel. The covenant, remember, is we talked about Deuteronomy, which is Deuteronomy's second covenant. And so these are the people that came out of Egypt. And so they were most of them were born in the wilderness over these 40 years. That generation that disobeyed the Lord, leaving Egypt, they are now gone. This is a whole new generation. So this is the Deuteronomy, the second covenant, second command. Now, with part of that is the sign of covenant. And so this is where your heart and now your actions come together. So your mind and your thinking, you know, everything that's kind of internal, all those things happen. Then it was Deuteronomy, they already went through that. They agreed, God, your God, so there's with their mouth, with their mind, their heart. But see, now it's with their hands and it's action. And we see this is very Hebraic, it's also very Christian in that regard. Because, you know, to be honest, it doesn't really matter what you think. I mean, it has a one sense. It doesn't matter how good your heart is. If you don't obey, if you don't do, then primarily by what you do, you can betray your own convictions in that way. And so Jesus, all through the book of John, he'll say things like, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. It's so simple. If you really love me, you will obey what I ask you to do. And so there's this idea that our hands are tied to our speech, are tied to our heart. You know, it's not what goes in that defiles a man, but what flows out of his mouth, because it flows from his heart. And so it's really an indication of what you do is probably more precise in that regard than what you say. You guys understand what I'm saying? And so these guys in Deuteronomy said yes. And now was the action, was the part where you know, talk is cheap. Now they're going to represent by what they do. And think about it. They're about to go into war. This is the last thing that you want to do when you go into war is circumcise everyone. And I mean, this is kind of ridiculous in this regard. And we're not talking about circumcising babies. We're talking about circumcising men. Can you imagine how painful that was? And so they circumcise everybody. And now when the word says, circumcise again the sons of Israel the second time, this doesn't mean that if you were circumcised once, you have to be again. But it seems like, and this part is unrecorded in scripture, but there was a mass circumcision when they left Egypt. And so now, because it says that every person that left Egypt was circumcised, that practice had basically died in Egypt through that time. And actually, Joshua talks about this, and if you look at verse 9, he says, "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'Today I've rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you.'" So the name of that place is called Gilgal to this day. The word Gilgal means rolling. And so what generally happened is that the Egyptians, not only were the Israelites the slaves of the Egyptians, but throughout the narrative, the Egyptians taunted the Israelites and said, "There's no way you could be the people of God. How can you be the people of God? How can your God be so great? You are our slaves." And their slavery was the sign that they were not God's people. And so during the Egyptian period of slavery, circumcision was done away with because the people actually believed that. They believed they were not the people of God. So there's no reason to walk in covenant in that regard. Now, we come to this place, and so he brings them into covenant. In other words, I mean, they were already in covenant. Now the actions go alongside the command or the speaking or the yes that the Israelites did. So they take care of this. But, you know, there were many men that were able to protect. You know, I read somewhere about 50,000 that had already been circumcised, so they were there to protect just in case anything happens. So they circumcised them in that place, and then Joshua also raised them. Joshua also circumcised. Most scholars believe it actually happened in one day that they did this. I mean, massive amount of people during this time, and they would finish. They remain in the place until they were all healed. Now, Let's take a step back and let's think about this for a moment. Let's think about circumcision, okay? The covenant relationship, out of everything that God could have chosen, that says, "You Israel, you are different than every other nation on the earth." I mean, you know, they could have worn a special ring. I mean, they could have got a tattoo. Well, I mean, they couldn't have. That would have been sin back in those days. They could have. I mean, there's so many things. They could have got a very different haircut. Like even today, you have like the sheiks who, you know, wear the turban, and that's how they distinguish themselves from everybody else. You have the Muslims who, you know, using the clothing distinguish themselves from everybody else, and different rites. I mean, God could have used all different things, but instead he uses the male reproductive system. And I think that is a very profound, prophetic announcement there in that regard. And this is why when we talk about in the church, and we talked about the importance of sexual purity, that we don't miss the importance of that. That the idea, because see, in the world, especially in the culture that they're living in, sexuality is a very flippant matter. Yeah, you go have sex with this prostitute. You know, you do that. It was nothing to them. But we know biblically, in understanding God's heart, that sexuality is a huge issue. It is a blessing. Part of that is because it comes out of our image. We are created in the image of God. Did you know, if you think about the image of God, one of those aspects is we're the only ones, human beings, we're the only ones that get to be redeemed. Remember the angels? The angels messed up, but they don't get to be redeemed. Only humans get to be redeemed. Only humans are created in the image of God. And this is the kicker. This is why sexuality is so important. Only human beings have the privilege and the beauty of procreating other human beings in the image of God. I mean, that's crazy. And the avenue by which procreation happens is through sex, is through intercourse. And it's a beautiful, holy, divine thing that the enemy has perverted and made it, one, made it very common, ordinary, even though this is a very supernatural thing, made it, or it's no big deal, it's just two bodies clashing together, right, exchanging bodily fluids, no big deal. It's a huge issue. And the way that God goes about it, he tells every man, give me, and excuse my language, we're all adults here, says, give me your penis. Take off the fourth, peel back. You know, I mean, think of, okay, I know this is going to be too much in the morning, okay? So don't think too hard, but the imagery, peel back, you could say it in two different ways. One, peel back your manhood, peel back and restrain yourself. You know, just slow down a little bit, restrain yourself in this whole identity in our sexuality. You know, that's why the homosexuality stuff that's going on right now, it's like, it's natural. I'm not saying that is, but it's natural that would be so much on the forefront because it's a perversion of the image of God in our sexuality. I mean, I said it before a little while ago. This is my prediction that, man, just trust me, down the road, not very much longer from where we're at now, you're going to start seeing in boxes where you're going to make, you know, your passport, whatever identification, and you're going to see a box for male, you're going to see a box for female, and you're going to see another box for other, or it's going to say something else. Because that really, more than anything else, that third box is the spirit of Antichrist. And let me explain what I mean by that. See, God is neither male nor female. We understand that. God is both, but he's not both at the same time. It's a mystery. Man is either male or female. What the homosexual agenda or the demonic assignment on this whole thing is that ultimately it's Luciferian. In other words, we want to be just like God. God is neither male nor female. Eventually, people are going to be so deceived that they're also going to walk in the non-maleness or non-femaleness because their heart is they've lifted themselves up and they want to be just like God. And that's pretty scary, right? And so I'm just kind of drawing this whole point here. I don't want to dwell on it so much. And so men and women in the church, okay, be very careful what you do with your bodies. Be very aware that God takes our sexuality very, very seriously. That God goes to war. It's amazing. I counsel couples, and they come to me, and you know, and they're all excited. Oh, PSAM, we're dating. Oh, and I'm like, oh, congratulations, praise God, fantastic. And my second question always is, keep your hands, or well, it's not really a question. I just tell them straight up, hey, keep your hands to yourself, keep your body parts to yourself, right? And don't stay out late with one another. I mean, it's really kind of a simple thing. Because the whole idea is, God, Pastor, can you pray for our relationship, ask God to bless it? Yeah, of course, I'll pray for you, ask God to bless it. But it's crazy how people betray their convictions. Like, you're asking God to bless your relationship, But you're living in such a way that dishonors God. How can he bless your relationship? I mean, come on, figure it out, knuckleheads. I mean, it's just so blatant there. And so young men, young women, man, be very aware of what you do with your bodies. The Bible talks about the one flesh phenomena that takes place. You're not just having sex. You're not just exchanging bodily fluids. And the seal of covenant is peeling back the penis. It's our sexual organ. It's huge. I mean, it's no joke right now that our society is just overwhelmed and in love with the penis or in love with phallic symbols. I mean, it's of course they are, because this is the demonic assignment that's at work here. And no wonder art and architecture and all these things are so consumed with phallic symbols, because that's what the devil's into. And he deceives us. He deceives the church in this regard. And so make sure that sexual purity is high, absolutely high on your list in terms of our behavior and our holiness. And it's so important. Look at this. It's so important to the Lord. He says he circumcises them. And he says, I have rolled back the reproach. In other words, all those curses and all those things those Egyptians told you, I rolled it all back. I've taken care of all these things. And look, and he says, he called that place Gilgal. Turn down to verse 15. So he sees the captain of the host. He says, remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy. In Canaan, crossing the Jordan, this is the first instance that God calls the place holy. And it's in that place where they circumcise. Gilgal was perfect. It had a lot of trees. There was a lot of shade. There was a nice wind. So it's a perfect place for them to recuperate from their operation. And he says, just like he told Moses, remove your sandals, for this land that you're standing on is holy ground. Why is it holy? Because of their circumcision. It's this bond. Now, let me just talk real quick before I run out of time. Actually, I rather ran out of time, but let me, this is important. So he comes, and Joshua meets this man standing opposite him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua says, okay, are you for us or are you against us? And then, I mean, you can't really tell in the language, but he says, no, rather I indeed come as now as captain of the host of the Lord. But there must be something in what he said that Joshua was, whoa, and he fell on his ground, on the ground, and he worshipped him. Now, we know because of that fact that this was not an angel. I mean, if you're going to draw a theological word, this is what we call a Christophany. A Christophany is really the appearance of Christ before his time. And so, so Jesus appears to Joshua. He says, I'm the captain of the host. Joshua bows down and worships. Now, Joshua worshiping is not a big deal in that regard, but that this person received the worship is a big deal. Okay? An angel would not receive worship. A man would not receive worship. Remember Peter and John at the Gate Beautiful? He says, oh, no, don't worship us. We're just men. We're just like you. An angel would never receive worship, but deity, God himself, would receive worship. That's what we know. This was a Christophany. This was Christ appearing to Joshua. And it's really quite powerful, the timing of all this, though. Now, why did God wait till the promised land to ask Israel to do a very difficult thing? And then why to this place here does Jesus show up and show himself to Joshua? And let me explain it this way. They crossed over already. They're just about, in other words, they can see, and in fact, they've already tasted the food in Canaan. They've tasted part of the blessing, land flowing with milk and honey. They're already eating it now. They're tasting it. They're right on the verge. They already see the promise. I mean, it's right before them, And so God asked him to step out in incredible obedience. This is really the mercy and timing of God. I would think 5 years ago, if God asked the Israelites to circumcise themselves, I think the Israelites would say, "You crazy, God. And we ain't doing none of that kind of stuff." But he waits for the right moment. They look, they see, whoa, something's happening. We're about to enter in, and when God says, "Do this," it says, "Sure, God, we'll do anything." You know how that works in our life, where God gives us a glimpse of the promise, like it's right there, attain it, and so that God could ask us to do anything we want to do. It's kind of like, I know this is a bad illustration, but let me use it anyway. It's kind of like with my kids. Let's say my kids really like, they really like Pez. You know those Pez things? Like my little Hannah, she loves Pez. And I could tell Hannah, I says, "Hannah, here's this Pez. It's yours. Just go clean up your room." And of course she does it. Now, I don't have the Pez. She don't clean up her room unless, I really get on her case. But it's like God just gives us a little bit, shows us, "Hey, this is what's before you," and says, "Okay, obey me in this thing." It's just a natural transaction that occurs here in this place. In other words, he waits for their hearts to be full. He waits for them to really step into a place of promise. And then he says, "Okay, do this." And Israel says, "Yes, sir. We'll do anything in this regard." Amen? Let's close our eyes. Sorry, I talked way too long. I haven't done EMP in a long time, so I got a lot stored up inside of me. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Let's go back to what I talked about a little bit. Let's go back to sexual purity. As a single person, as a married person, are we keeping in covenant with God? With what our eyes see, what our mind dwells on? As a married person, are you honoring your spouse in sexuality? Maybe one side, are you demanding your spouse for sex? That's not very honoring. Or on the other side, are you withholding as an act of punishment? That's also not very honoring. We need to be pure in our marriages as well. Or making sure that pornography is not a part of the equation, married and single. You that may be dating here in the room and on our internet audience, are you keeping your hands to yourself? Are you honoring your boyfriend or girlfriend? Or is it just about fulfilling your own needs? That's not the spirit of Christ. We are uniquely created in the image of God. And like I said, we get to procreate other beings in the image of God. And so we see sexuality as this beautiful, divine thing that God has orchestrated in our lives. And the enemy is so jealous and hates it so much that he goes to war against us. And if we believe the statistics, he's winning the war. And so I just want to encourage you this morning as we just take a step back. And in our prayers, let's just honor God in our sexuality. Let's honor our spouses, our boyfriends, girlfriends. Just as a man, let's just honor women in general. And as a woman, let's honor men in general. And if there's things that you're doing, let's just spend this time to repent. He is faithful. He'll forgive you. And as Pastor Nate leads us in a song, let's really go before the Lord and just take care of whatever business we need to take care of this morning in regard to sexuality. Let's pray this morning that God would give you a revelation of the glory of sexual purity. It's not a burden. It's not the world thinks, oh man, I can't do this, I can't do that. It is the glory of being pure before God. Let's pray that the Lord would totally change our thinking. And it's not about, oh, we can't do this, we can't do that, but just see that it's one of the most wonderful ways that we can really honor God and honor one another. Just pray, Lord, just give me a revelation of the glory of sexual purity. Let me see the beauty of it, God, the benefits. I'm going to just spend a moment and just go before God. Just pray that, Lord, give me a revelation of your glory in regard to sexual purity. And let's pray. Let's go to our community prayer focus and let's pray for our friends and family members that are battling disease and cancer, going through therapies, recovering from surgeries. And let's pray for God's Holy Spirit to just breathe on them and bring that healing word. Let's pray for our community that's battling illness, but more than that, they need to meet Jesus. And let's pray that the Lord would reveal himself to them and also bring his healing. Let's pray for our community that's battling illness. Let's pray for God's healing. pray for our brothers and sisters that are looking for work. And let's pray for God's provision. Go to our mission focus, and this morning let's pray for China. Let's ask God to continue to breathe His life in this country. Pray for all the leaders that govern, that they would rule righteously. Let's pray for our Beijing family. Ask the Lord to bless and be with Pastor Hyunsu and Chloe, and continue to use them to lead with the board. Let's just pray for space issues that they're running into. There's so many people coming. Let's pray that God would really give them wisdom in allocating and finding different venues to meet in. Let's continue to pray for the Chung family. Ask God's hand to be with them as they minister. Pray for Matt and Nate's parents. Pray for Edie Clark and the churches and above ground, underground, Three Self, International. Let's pray that Holy Spirit would just use the pulpits in each of those churches to spread the gospel. Let's lift up China. Just cover our board right now. Let's pray for each of the members and their family, that God would protect them. Pray for wisdom as they lead our church, and especially in the area of governance. Pray that the Holy Spirit would lead all of our meetings, and just continue to ask God's blessing. Let's cover our hospitality ministries, and let's pray for our welcoming and barista teams. Let's pray that God would really use them to just be the first contact of love and grace that people will meet as they come into our church. Pray that they would just really minister with joy, and just the joy of the Lord would come out of them as they meet and greet people. Let's continue to pray for our men's and women's ministries. Let's pray for good follow-up after our men's awesome men's retreat that we had. Let's pray for the Monday morning prayer meetings, the Pure Desire Group, the men's fraternity that's starting up soon. Ask God's hand to be upon all of our men. Let's also pray for our women's ministry that is soon relaunching. Just really excited for the vision that God's given some of our women leaders, and I just pray that they would just really come together in unity. Also pray for our young adults, the Yama and Yamama, but the Lord would just continue to use them in these groups to foster growth and love for Him and one another. Let's pray for our house churches meeting this week. Causeway Bay, Happy Valley, Island, New Conduit Road, Cimbria, Lion Rock, and Taihang. Let's pray for our leaders and our hosts, and Holy Spirit would just take control of all the meetings, that people would just draw close to Him and to one another. Real community would be built, and each really meaningful time tonight. Let's pray today. Father, we just thank you, God, for your word today. We thank you for radical obedience, God, but in the face, Lord, of soon coming promise. And we pray for ourselves as well, God, that we would always obey you, God. Lord, we're reminded of Jesus' words, "If you love me, you'll obey my commandments." And even as the Israelites obeyed you, Lord, as they stepped in to your promise, help us also to be faithful, especially, God, in the area of our sexuality, Lord, that we would guard it, Lord, that we would see the beauty of it, Lord, we would see the glory, God, of keeping your commands in the area of sex. And so we would pray for your help, God, and for your strength, God, in these areas, Father. God, we just lift up all of our married couples, Lord, today, and we pray, God, that they would just honor you in their sexuality, Lord, husband and wives. We pray for our community that's dating, Lord, that they would honor one another and honor you, God, in the way they handle and treat one another, and all of our singles that are unattached, God, that they would honor you as well, Lord, in their sexuality, Father. And so we thank you, God. We thank you for protecting us, for watching over us, and we thank you in advance for using us today to glorify your Son, Jesus. Lord, in His name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll go through Joshua 6 tomorrow.